Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I'm Amanda Pruell Walsh, founder of Astrology Hub and your host for our flagship show. We explore the many ways astrology can support you in your relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Thanks for tuning in. March is a pivotal time in this year where we'll be entering into the eclipse portal, which is a 6-week period of accelerated change and transformation. We'll be experiencing our first full moon lunar eclipse in Libra, which is promising to shake things up a bit. We have the equinox, all planets direct, a special astrological event on St. Patrick's Day, and a lot of Pisces energy to navigate, and some other key astrological events that we're going to clue you in on. In this episode, we'll be walking through the key astrology of the month. You'll want to make sure and stay until the end, plus grab something to write things down, because I'm going to be asking our guest astrologers to give us a list of hot spots or especially intense periods of the month, as well as golden opportunities that you can take advantage of. I'm joined today by two wonderful astrologers, Gemini Brett and Sheridan Semple. Brett is a renowned storyteller who integrates sacred geometry and astronomical insights into his astrological readings and teaching. And Sheridan's approach is deeply rooted in understanding astrology as a living practice connected to the rhythms of nature, earth, and sky. She'll also be an Inner Circle Expand guide with us for the Pisces cycle that begins this month. And Expand members, you can look forward to a mastery class on alchemical astrology in which you learn how to decode your soul's journey by understanding the relationship between your moon and rising signs. More on that later. Before we dive in, I want to give a quick shout out to all of you Pisces out there. In honor of your birthday season, we're giving you a special gift. You can get 20% off our Essential Birthday Report. This personalized report is based on your unique chart information and will give you confidence and clarity as you navigate the year ahead. You're going to get your personal themes and how to work with the transits coming your way. Find it at astrologyhub.com/birthday report and enter the code 20Pisces at checkout. We're going to drop that link and the discount code in the show notes as well. And without further ado, Sheridan and Brett, welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda.
All right, you guys, let's start with the overarching theme for March. What would you say that theme is?
Enter the dragon, and the dogs know what we're talking about, right? It's a lot of barking that's about to happen with the sun's Aries ingress, as it is every year, and with eclipse season coming up. So this is this kind of liminal time, this transformational time, in a way preparing for that. It's amazing that all planets are direct right now, so we have that kind of direct motion. But Pisces season in general is a good time to remember to stay in spirit, stay in water, stay in the heart.
So Brett, when you say enter the dragon, I know that has to do with the eclipses, but what does that mean?
Yeah, well, why that has to do with the eclipses, by the way, is there's so many myths about the sun or the moon being eaten by a dragon at eclipse time. And that's because the moon snakes above and below the path of the sun every month, and eclipses happen when we have new or full moons at their crossing points, which we call the dragon's head and the dragon's tail, right? So when I hear enter the dragon, like, I think of Bruce Lee. It was a Bruce Lee film back in the day. And there's important training for that, right? Like, eclipses are a really big deal. I think we can get lost, like, preparing so much that we forget to live in the moment now, which is key, like, Pisces reminder, right? Like a timelessness, like, be here now. But at the same time, like, eclipses are a huge deal. So as we're moving there, when I think of enter the dragon, it's that kind of like, get your kung fu ready, right? Get training. And that for me means like dream into and feel into intentions for the eclipse portal and also for the year ahead, because we often look at the sun's Aries ingress, which happens in March, as a chart that speaks for the year to come.
I know that you also mentioned that we have all planets direct this month. So there's no retrograde planets. What does that mean? What does that set us up for perfectly? What does it sort of ask us not to do during this period of time? what would you say is the significance of that?
Well, retrograde planets in general often offer opportunities to reflect, right? And do a little memory lane work, and also kind of get a little more internal. So when all the planets are direct, it's the opposite of that. It's like everything's moving forward, right? So it's a really cool time. Wouldn't typically say this of Pisces season, because I really do feel Pisces wants us to be in water, to be in spirit, you know, and those dreams when you're trying to like throw punches underwater and you can't do anything, like that's a good reminder of how to Pisces as far as I'm concerned. But with all the planets moving direct, and especially with the Aries ingress coming up as it always does in March, right? The equinox time. I think it's a great time to launch a ship, to, you know, look forward. It's actually this small window that Isabel, my dog, gets really excited about, between the sun moving into Aries and the lunar eclipse that follows. That's a pretty cool electional time to think about what you're moving forward into and moving towards, and launch that ship.
We will be doing a free community event for this eclipse portal, and we are really anchoring around those ideas of stepping into the authorship or leadership of your own life. And it sounds like even though it's Pisces energy, which isn't necessarily usually associated with more of those yang type activities, the fact that all the planets are direct are maybe offering an opportunity for us to dream into what kind of leaders we want to be in our own life, dream into how we want to show up in a more assertive way, but also still deeply rooted spiritually. So it doesn't have to be one or the other, potentially. Sheridan, I know you work a lot with shamanic practices around astrology in terms of bringing things from the vision space into this realm, into our lives. Are there any particular approaches or practices or ways that we can do that, especially this month?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're talking about coming into eclipses, and it's this, it can be a triggery time for people, right? Because it's about going into the shadow and looking into the darkness and the healing component that we're often uncomfortable with. So I think with all of this Pisces energy and so many of the alignments happening this month, that it is really important to try and stay grounded, right? Connect into the earth, right? Because that's the place that we're on, and that's the place that all of this is happening from our view from, right? So grounding practices, breathing practices, and really focusing on the heart, right? That's so much of what Pisces is all about for me, is like being in the heart, connecting into spirit through the heart. So how do we take these lofty ideals and bring it down into the physical is by dropping into our bodies, right? Instead of just staying out in that kind of Neptunian celestial world, Pisces place, it's like, how do I come into feeling it in my body? Put my feet on the ground, lay on the ground. Maybe I use, you know, I always talk about it like aromatherapy, connect with the plants, connect with crystals, like things that ground you into the physical, right? So when we talk about like feeling into your heart, bringing it into your heart, focusing on your heart. How does it feel? Does it feel open? Is it feeling closed? Am I feeling fear? Am I feeling like love, right? How do I keep connecting, grounding into my heart to open that space? And then for me, that's where it can come down into that matter place, because your heart is in your body.
Wonderful. Okay. I know that we have some big transits that we want to focus on for March, and just give like the Cliff's Notes version of March for people so they can walk away with the biggest, juiciest things to focus on. And one of those first things happening is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the Sun conjunct Neptune in Pisces. So Brett, let's kick this off with you. Why is this important, and what is the invitation for us?
Well, I mean, Sun conjoining any of the outer planets begins their cycle. Neptune moves so slowly that the sun laps Neptune in about a year's time. I think it's 367 days between consecutive sun-Neptune conjunctions. And we will have one next year in 2025, also in Pisces, but that will be the last sun-Neptune conjunction in Pisces, where many see Neptune at home in our lifetimes. Like from then on, starting 2026, the sun-Neptune conjunctions will happen in Aries, right? So there's a finishing here, which I think is really important. And I mean, it's kind of ironic that this sun-Neptune conjunction in Pisces happens on St. Paddy's Day, because Neptune's a planet kind of notorious for inebriation, right? And a lot of people will be quite drunk then. I think much more importantly, and I feel why alcohol is known as spirits, is, you know, Pisces, Neptune, these are both energies where we're trying to have experiences that exist beyond, in the realms beyond the limits of our senses, you know? And inebriants sometimes are a way to access that. There's healthier ways, and that's the encouragement for everyone. Maybe stay sober this month, because the sun-Neptune conjunction in Pisces on St. Patrick's Day, it's the opposite of that, right? So as we enter the dragon, we really want to stay grounded. And I think Sharon very beautifully, Sheridan mentioned this before, right? Like the human experience has so much to do with feelings, right? I mean, one of the reasons why we drink or get high or whatever is to get away from the felt experience at full speed. And most people listening to this, let me just say all of you, like that's not the route anymore, right? We want to be here now. We want to be in the body. We want to be in the feelings. Like that's the gift of incarnating into these suits that have these powerful devices called hearts. Yeah. And so I think most importantly, this time of Neptune moving through Pisces, which has been so long now, the kind of annual meetings of Sun and Neptune in those signs, in a way we're coming to a culmination of that, and to really be in that high energy of Pisces spirit, of oneness, right? Of that like higher ideal, that goal of boundarylessness. We can completely lose it, obviously, if we don't stay in self and stay grounded. So that's part of the enter the dragon kung fu training that's necessary. But we don't want to miss this opportunity to go into the higher heart, into that energy of oneness too. Like this is one of the great alignments that's just preceding the sun's movement into Aries, right? So I think it will let us really dream big, right? We need to have the vision before we can bring the vision into reality. So the thing I would do to use this is to like allow the celestial alignments to really bring you into that, you know, high space, if you will. But if you can do that in a kind of a grounded, controlled, sober way, you're much more likely to see visions that you can actually bring into your life.
You know, I was thinking one of the other things that substances enable is that sense of uninhibitedness. You know, we often go through life kind of holding ourselves back out of fear of what other people are going to think, or, you know, whatever. There's a million reasons why we do it. And so alcohol and other drugs sometimes open up the door of like, I don't really care. You know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I'm wondering, is that linked in with Piscean energy too? You know, does Piscean energy in its sobriety enable us to access a less inhibited state in a way that doesn't hold back? You know what I'm saying? Sharon, what do you think about that?
I think that's definitely one of the goals of it, right? That it's not about using a substance to get there. It's not that that can't be a path, right? I'm not, you know, there's a lot of sacred practices around plant spirit medicine, right? But it's how do we get there without having to have that, right? You know, I don't think we necessarily think of alcohol because we're kind of talking about that, and it's St. Patrick's Day and green beer. It's like, we're not really talking about that's plant spirit medicine, right? That's not a sacred practice of like getting wasted on St. Patrick's Day, right? So how do we use this Sun, Neptune conjunction to come into that place through our hearts, through our bodies, without the substance, right? So meditation, stillness, hugging a tree, sitting on the earth, right? These kind of practices. It takes time, right? We're not adept at attaining those levels of consciousness without that so much, right? We're not used to, like you said, a million reasons that we hold ourselves back, inhibit ourselves, but we can practice and get there, right? That's what I think the invitation really is how do we feel through our body how to get there? Because obviously drinking alcohol might in the moment feel good, but it doesn't later or doesn't the next day, right? So how can we get there in a way that does feel good?
You know, I was just reflecting on the word wasted, even. Like, we get wasted on St. Patrick's Day. It's like, whoa, waste what? And it's interesting, Brett, because you brought in that that we have one more of these Sun-Neptune conjunctions in Pisces in our lifetime. So that just means we have an opportunity here that we don't want to waste by getting wasted.
You know, yeah, I love that.
Right? Like, this is an opportunity to be able to access those higher states of consciousness, those bigger dreams, those spiritual realms, and we don't want to waste it, right?
Yeah. So I'll just, like, for some memory lane, even though all planets are direct, Neptune moved into Pisces in 2011. But the first Sun-Neptune conjunction in Pisces was 2012. And so, you know, I mean, that was a time when a lot of us were dreaming into massive world changes. Some of us were more bought into that than others. My life completely ended and began anew. Like, that's when I became an astrologer. And I think a lot of people that were really kind of visioning into the potential for a new world to be born at that time, like, really did have personal experiences around that, like, didn't, yeah, as you know, as you said, like, didn't waste that opportunity by just, you know, being in our wasted space or whatever, right? So, yeah, I mean, folks, you know, where were you in 2012? Like, what have you been dreaming into since then? And no, in a sense, it's not full circle. Like, that's the whole zodiac. But this period of Sun dancing with Neptune in Pisces, we're coming more towards the end of that now that Neptune is at the last degrees and is about to move into Aries, right? So I think it's a really big deal. And, you know, I've been sober since 2012, actually. But I'm glad I didn't used to be, you know, like, I learned a lot and learned how to open things and release some of those inhibitions that you spoke about before and learned how to see the world in a less linear way and whatnot through my explorations with different medicines over time. And especially since I've now come to respect them as medicines rather than just, like, you know, ways to avoid life, et cetera. Like, you know, I think there's lots of different ways to get after that. But most of us now have found, like, you know, more grounded ways to open into that spiritual space and that flow state. And that's the big deal. So it's probably a really helpful time always, and especially now, for us to check in with our belief systems, right? Believing is seeing. So as we prepare for the dragon times, when eclipse portals are always so powerful, there's something particularly powerful about eclipses when the nodes are in Aries Libra, as they are now, that we kind of check in with our religion, you know, like, choose your religion or choose to release any religious thoughts that might keep you from going there is the last commandment I'll say that's open for us at this powerful time.
Brett, I was so wishing you were with me a few nights ago. I went on a stargazing field trip with Sophia's sixth grade class and ran into an astronomer who really doesn't like astrology and was telling me that astrology is a religion. And I was like, whoa, that is absolutely not my experience of it. And she said, well, of course it's not your experience of it because you believe, you know, she just totally dismissed me and, you know, all the reasons why astrology is just a bunch of BS. And I was like, oh, where's Brett when you need him? But it's interesting. This idea of what have we made religion? It could be astrology. It could be science. It could be
medicine. Absolute hatred of astrology, like that astronomer is really rigid religion, right? I mean, I think it's safe to say that astrology is a belief system. It's really personal, right? It's really like how you come after it. But the funny thing is, typically we're blind to our own religion. Like, my assumption would be that that astronomer, like most rationalist astronomers of our day and age, don't think they're religious.
She's attacking you. That's exactly what happened. She was like, well, of course, because it's your religion, you don't see it. And I was kind of like, well, what about yours? You know, but it doesn't matter. My point is, we all have them, though. You know, we have these belief systems that we're very attached to, and that they can serve us, and that can also keep us with blinders on and unable to consider other perspectives.
Yeah. And hey, I wish I was there with you under Hawaii stars and a field trip always too. And you know, there's a thing that you said that's a great way to lens Pisces in general. It's like, it's just like a fish isn't aware of the water that they swim through.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's our Pisces. Like, what is the stuff you're not even aware of, because it's what your reality consists of. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's worth contemplating that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's strange for us that, like, in our elemental order in the zodiac, we move from fire, right? Water, Pisces, to fire, Aries. And then Hawaii is such a great teacher of that as well, right? Because the fire water, like the lava and the volcanoes that are in the ocean and all that. So it's such an epic place to study nature and astrology. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the things I would tell that astronomer is astrology is the poetic breath of nature.
I think what you're speaking to really speaks to all the planets being direct versus the retrogrades as well, right? That we can get into our own like dogmatic belief systems of like, oh, I can only do this when I've done that, right? So when planets are retrograde, we get that reflective time to kind of like sit back and go, wait, do I need to do those two things linked together all the time, you know, or do I not? But when everything's going forward at the same time, there can be a pressure to just keep going, right? Keep going with what you're doing, keep doing. There's no like being time. It's nice that there's so much Pisces because it does allow us to be if we're ready to like settle into that. But it's like, it can lend itself to more dogmatic practices of what, you know, maybe isn't serving us and linking weird things that we do together. Like, I can only eat this when I've done this, or I can only like go exercise if I've done this, right? But it's like, wait, why are those two things linked together? They have nothing to do with each other, you know?
I love that too, Sheridan, in light of the idea that this is a month where we can bring big dream. Well, we can dream big, and then we can start to actually make plans to actualize those dreams. It's hard to dream big when you're stuck in boxes, in dogmatic boxes, in, like you just said, you've linked two things together, like, oh, whenever I try this, it fails. Or whenever I attempt this kind of thing, you know, I get embarrassed, or, you know, it doesn't work, or, you know, any of those kinds of limiting links, I like how you say that, are really important to be aware of, because with those still in place, we're going to limit ourselves. So I love this. Okay, let's go to the equinox on the 19th.
Do you ever long for a more magical, connected life? Well, we've got you covered with a free gift called Your Guide to Manifesting with the Moon, designed to help you connect with the cosmos on a deeper level and start manifesting the life of your dreams with simple, practical practices. You'll learn all about the moon's phases, how the energy changes as she moves through the elements, and how to craft rituals for different times of the month. Intrigued? Just go to astrologyhub.com/manifest to get started for free today.
Okay, let's go to the equinox on the 19th. A couple days after this Sun-Neptune conjunction, we have the equinox. So let's talk about the astrology of that and why it even matters. Why should we pay attention?
The equinox, specifically the Aries ingress, and there's a good reason that I teach in the sacred astronomy class, like that is the point zero tropical Aries that is due east of Earth's center, right? And therefore it works like a global ascendant. So each year when the sun ingresses Aries and is east of the Earth, that's often seen as the beginning of the astrological year. Actually, a lot of astronomers see it as the beginning of the astronomical year as well. It's a global moment, sun ingress Aries, right? So spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, we often say the resurrection, right? Daylight overcomes night at that time. But of course, the opposite is true in the southern hemisphere, where this is autumnal equinox, right? Regardless, like there's this easting, and in mundane astrology, that Aries ingress chart is often seen as a chart that speaks for the entire year ahead, or depending on awesome astronomical kung fu, it's either a chart for 3 months or 6 months or for the entire year, right? And so like, what's new? Like, what are we moving towards? How are we, I don't think, closing the year behind to open the new year. It's like, how is this last year moving into this year? I always like to think cyclically instead of linearly, which is harder to do when the page flips on the calendar on your wall at, you know, January time, this random, like not necessarily astronomically assigned thing. Well, solstices and equinoxes are. So the entire actually Aries ingress chart can speak for the year ahead. The one thing that I had mentioned from it before that I think is a really beautiful aspect in a sense that speaks to so much of what we've been sharing here is like there's really strong Pisces in the Aries ingress chart. Neptune's still in Pisces. And then there's this Venus in Pisces, where traditionally Venus is said to be exalted or an honored guest. And Venus is with Saturn. They perfect their conjunction a couple days later. They're also sextile Jupiter, and we could go on and on. But I think it really does offer that kind of grounding, the vision, and actually the sextile with Jupiter in Taurus, right? Expanding like embodiment and sensuality and the like. It's another image that we'll say like in this ingress chart with the sun in Aries kind of surrounded by the Pisces, Venus, Saturn, and the Taurus, Jupiter, and Uranus. Right? That like grounding or making real, embodying your vision space and having that be a huge theme, not only like at this time in this month through the eclipse portal, but literally for the entire astrological year ahead.
Okay. So you would, if we were anchoring on a potential theme for the whole year ahead, starting with this equinox, it would still be this theme of bringing those big dreams and visions into reality.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll remember that Jupiter and Saturn conjoined in the first degree of Aquarius on December solstice 2020, right? So there was like a seed planted then. Well, now they're sextile, right? And so we're moving more towards the sprouting of whatever their intention was. And I just love that it's in Taurus where Jupiter is now and Pisces where Saturn is now, and that Saturn has Venus at its side for this Aries ingress, because there's something so artistic in Pisces and Taurus, you know, I mean, Pisces in like the vision space, the imagination, the dream, and Taurus, like the embodiment, the sensuality, the, you know, the like the stuff, right? The earth. And I love, you know, Aries is just in between these two really beautiful spaces. And so for this particular Aries ingress, it really feels like we do have that juice for bringing the vision into reality. And typically that comes with some trials, right? And the eclipses coming likely kind of helped us to see where in our lives we might experience those.
Well, I'll add in, you know, when we're talking about like practices that can kind of bring it down into the mundane world, is I like using the equinoxes and the solstices as that time to really tune into nature, right? I mean, ideally we're doing that on a regular basis, but here we are at that changing of the season, which is different for each of us, right? Northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. I'm in Colorado. My spring is going to be different from yours in California, Brett, and yours in Hawaii, Amanda, right? But it's still, what is our experience of that changing of the season, right? Whether it's spring or autumn, because it's still, right? This is when the time changes, right? So for me, it's like spring skiing. It starts to get a little bit warmer, right? But there's something that happens. And so how do we pay attention to that?
There's this really great thing at equinox time, right? As opposed to solstices, like in solstice, right? Capricorn solstice, winter solstice, and the northern hemisphere, summer solstice, and the southern hemisphere, we're like most extremely opposite in our experience to one another. Mm-hmm. And while Aries ingress means spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, fall equinox in the southern hemisphere, and as Sheridan says, you know, Aspen, Colorado, where she lives, works differently than Kula, Hawaii, where you live, Amanda. But it does mean generally at this time, equal shadow and light everywhere on Earth, right? Equal day and night. And there's something very important about that truth of equinox that's kind of shared in a way globally, right? So like where we're going with one of the hemispheres moving towards summer and the other moving towards winter is different in the moment. But in that moment, we're in this place of equality where it's the only times of the year equinox time when the sun rises due east and sets due west. You know, we're like, get realigned to the cardinal directions. It's a really important time. Yeah, I don't know. Again, like for me, Pisces can benefit from a bunch of retrograde stuff, it feels like, because we want to be in our water. I think there's a benefit there, though, which is that the Pisces new moon on March 10th is the super moon. Like literally the moon is closest to Earth at that time for the new moon. Like it makes tides bigger. It makes water bigger. You know what I mean? And like that's not mind stuff. But once Aries comes around, it's really helpful to have all those planets direct. And that's true until Mercury stations retrograde on April 1st. Kind of true to form, like on April Fool's Day, it's so wonderfully mercurial, do you know what I mean? So we really do, in you know, moving into this eclipse portal, like we really have like full steam ahead. So I'd wait for it, by the way. I'd wait until the sun ingresses Aries. I'd be in like vision space, use all the technologies you can to change your headspace, right? I mean, I encourage doing that in more of a sober way, but it's a really wonderful time for meditation, baths, like working with nature, working with salts, whatever that is, you know? And then when the sun ingresses Aries, like really start to move forward into how can I bring this in vision and just do it every day, you know?
One of the things we'll be doing in the inner circle for the third time, so this is the third year in a row that we're doing it, is the treasure mapping activity that we do as like a workshop ceremony. And it's basically creating vision boards, but using a specific sort of like feng shui organizational system. And so this will be, again, like I said, the third time we're doing it. And the results year over year are astounding, miraculous. We hear success stories from the community. I personally have had like countless stories of things that are on those treasure maps aligned with that Aries new moon. I know you said the Aries ingress, but we've been waiting until that first new moon in Aries and a little bit after that first new moon in Aries to actually start that treasure mapping process. And then allow the whole entire year for the things to actually sprout and come alive in our lives. So I love that that the whole eclipse period is sort of moving us in that direction, is giving us that momentum that we need to really be clear on those visions so we can put them visually onto our vision boards for that treasure mapping that we'll be doing in community. And it's so cute, you guys, my two daughters, they've done the vision boards every year with the treasure maps every year with me. And this year they're like, okay, when are we doing the treasure maps again? Like they're already planning for it because they have the things. Of course, Sophia's going to put a bunch more puppies on there and like, no more puppies. Four now because of that original treasure map that she did. But yes, I have to approve my children's treasure maps. Okay, you guys. So we have covered the Sun-Neptune conjunction on St. Patrick's Day. We have covered the equinox. We have just touched on that new moon in Pisces that we're going to have earlier in the month, March 10th. Then I know there is the first lunar eclipse. So the first eclipse of the two-part series. Eclipses always come, you know, we have the full moon and the new moon eclipses in a period of time. So this full moon lunar eclipse in Libra, Sheridan, why don't you kick us off on this? What are the themes that are going to be highlighted? What's the invitation of this time?
So this is happening on that Aries Libra axis, right? So both of those are involved. And so for me, it's a lot about like the eclipses offer that healing, that alchemical transformation, right? That we're always trying to turn our personal lead into gold, right? We're trying to move from our kind of baser, lower vibrational selves into our more soul, higher vibrational selves, right? That's the soul's journey for me. And so eclipses, it offers this healing and transformation in our relationships, Libra, but with ourselves and others, right? With ourselves, Aries, and then that's what flows out into our connections with others, right? So I like even what you were talking about, this like composting board of that lunar eclipse time, right? As the portal's opening and then you move into what you want to be creating. But I think it really offers us a lot of deep emotional growth, right, is available, right? For me, the astrology, what's happening is always about like opportunity, intentions. How can we work with the energy more consciously to co-create with our lives, right? And so this axis really, you know, how can we focus on that healing, go into the shadow, again, staying with that theme of being in the heart, right? Feeling in our hearts, not running away from it, not denying it, but feeling the shadow aspects of ourselves that we are wanting to let go of and release, right? That will help us to heal so that we can more accurately see our true selves, our soul selves, our higher vibrational selves inside and out. Really, you know, with that Aries piece, I always love thinking of Aries as like a Wonder Woman, right? So that we are, you know, we can know the superheroes that we really, truly all are within ourselves, right?
Okay. So this lunar eclipse is a releasing eclipse. And releasing around the Aries axis, the Aries Libra axis. So releasing things that are not enabling us to show up for ourselves and others in our fullest capacity. So maybe people pleasing, maybe over committing, maybe holding ourselves back, you know, whatever those things are for you, this is the opportunity to release those things, so that we can step up into more of a superhero version of ourselves as we come into that Aries eclipse in April. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think codependency is an interesting thing to look at. I mean, also like, when do we protect ourselves so much that we can't even engage with related, right? But balancing self and other tends to be like the beautiful Aries Libra story, right? Now the lunar eclipse, it's a penumbral eclipse, which basically, by the way, just looks like a full moon. It's like the most partial kind of lunar eclipse, but that always means that total eclipse or annular eclipse is coming. And of course, this time it's a total solar eclipse in Aries that will follow a couple of weeks later. The lunar eclipse in Libra is parallel Pisces Neptune, intriguingly. And actually, I think that actually expands the portal of potential codependence slash martyrdom themes, but also really opens to the great relationship, which is you and spirit, you know? One more thing I'll say. Well, first of all, in the eclipse chart, Venus is now past Saturn in Pisces and has perfected her sextile with Jupiter and Taurus. It perfected their mutual reception. So there, I think a great teacher here is Jupiter in Taurus, right? To like help Pisces Venus dream into like, what do you want? What does your body want, right? Like, how can you be here on Earth, you know, what makes you feel beautiful and wonderful. Like, go there. Selfness is not selfish. It's a really important teaching of the Aries Libra axis and the Aries side of that axis, so we can come into true balance, which is really what Libra wants for us, right? And wants to help us get to. So this is kind of like opens probably the greatest potential theme for like a compost board process. Where are you with relationships, whether that's personal relationships with human beings? Where have you been? Where do you not want to be anymore? But I think also to keep it in Pisces, and especially again, looking at this Libra moon parallel, Pisces Neptune, perhaps it's the big relationship between you and all that ever was, is, and will be. And it's a weird thing to separate from that and incarnate and become an embodied soul or whatever the heck is going on here. And sometimes like that's maybe the big relationship that we'll have the opportunity to tune into as well. So if you're not in a place where you want to explore like interpersonal relationship drama right now, understand that everything is relationship. What's your relationship with astrology? What's your relationship with the sun? What's your relationship with the moon? And like, that's a great place to be in regards to where is the dream moving forward.
Yes, I love that. What's your relationship with yourself too? I love it. I think this is very fruitful. Okay, so we have three of the major elements of this month covered, with Pisces kind of being the underlying like big picture energy that we've talked about throughout the entire month. Can you identify certain hot spots or maybe more intense periods of the month that we can note down? And how would you recommend working with those intense periods this month?
Well, I would say the things that we've talked about, the Sun-Neptune conjunction, that's a hot spot, right? And I think we've identified a good way to work with it is like stay sober, right? I like that theme. And then I think the eclipse is another hot spot. I think that'll open up a hot spot that lasts until the following solar eclipse time, right? Because it is that working with the shadow aspects of ourselves, that underworld healing process that is challenging for all of us. So I think the ways to do that is what we've talked about, is like try and stay grounded, whatever practices do that for you, right? Get your feet on the ground, put your feet on the crystal, connect to the plants and trees. I'm such a fan of aromatherapy, but like using root essences like vetiver or spikenard, right? Things that help ground us, trees, as well as just stay open to it, right? You'll get through the shadow, the hard feelings, all of that. Just keep feeling and you'll come out the other side. It's when we like shove it away that it really starts to mess with us and cause such problems. So just ride the hot spot wave, you know?
I came up with something exploring the last lunar cycle we were in. I was in dialogue with someone and I realized when I don't want to feel something, I try to fix it. So I came up with feel it, don't fix it. You know, instead of like, oh, well, we could do this and we could change it. It's like, no, just feel what the person just said. Just absorb it. It's okay to feel it, whatever that brings up. Because whenever I would go into fix it, it just the person didn't feel heard at all, because I'm just trying to fix the situation, you know, because I don't want to feel it. It has nothing to do with them. It's actually very selfish. So I love what you're bringing up there. Just ride the waves, allow ourselves to feel it. So what is the actual date of this lunar eclipse that we're going to be having?
It's March 25th at exactly midnight Pacific time.
Cool.
Which is a lot of fun. So in Hawaii, it will still be March 24th.
Yes.
But yeah, right at midnight.
Nice. Okay. Thank you. Brett, in terms of golden opportunities, if you had to identify some golden opportunities during the month, what would you say those are?
I, of course, would really be in intentional space and especially kind of vision receiving the dream space with the Pisces new moon, super moon. That's March 10th. The lunar eclipse, right? Kind of being in that awareness of the shadow and choosing to find new light in it and entering the portal in that way. There's a piece that I will add, which every 18 and a half years, when the North Node reaches zero Aries, that's January 25, we enter what's called the lunar maximums of the great lunar standstill. And it's a lot to say, but just know that like the moon is going out of bounds every month this year and next year, like extremely out of bounds. You'll notice super weird things, like the moon is just higher than seems possible or lower than seems possible, setting and rising in weird places that the sun never can. And generally speaking, it's like when the moon is in Gemini and Cancer, and also when the moon is in Sagittarius and Capricorn. It's like the moon is going to places the sun literally can't. That's what out of bounds means. And let it give you out of bounds experience, break the rules, let your feelings, let your soul like come alive, and just know that you can do things that your belief system, you know, your religion, if we use that word that came in before, limits you from believing. Like you can become the best version of you, regardless of what your history may suggest. Don't believe the hype. Dream into the greatest version of you and make that the reality of your life.
Love it. Okay. If you love the guidance that Brett and Sheridan have offered, I just want to let you know that both of them are available for readings. So if you want to know how this affects your chart personally, you can go to astrologyhub.com/connect and you will be able to get the generous offerings that both of them offer to our community, which is 10% off of their readings. Sheridan's going to be offering even steeper discounts to Inner Circle members during her Inner Circle month, which begins with Pisces. So you can wait for that and find out more information about the 30% that Sheridan's going to be offering and how to access that and everything. But if you are not an Inner Circle member and or if you would like to book a reading with Brett, you can do so with a 10% off for our Astrology Hub community, all the podcast listeners, all our YouTube subscribers out there. So make sure you go to astrologyhub.com/connect and check it out and book your reading with Brett and use your discount code. All the information you need is on that page. Brett and Sheridan, thank you so much. I feel like we have a great lay of the land for March and lots of good information about sort of the overarching themes and opportunities that we will be navigating. So thank you so much. I feel like we're going to be ready to enter into the dragon. And very much thanks to you and both of your wisdom and guidance. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Amanda. Such a treat to be here with Astrology Hub always.
Always.
And it's great to connect with you and see you again, Sheridan.
Yeah, you too. No, it's just fun to spend this time with you all. Thanks for having me.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.